Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. The end, because they're wearing the right robes, and the white robes are the robes of righteousness. They got saved during the tribulation period. So we just hadn't finished verse 9 yet.
Isn't door being shut a reference to Yom Kippur also?
Yes, the door is shut at Ne'alot, the end of Yom Kippur, which is what ends the tribulation period.
Yeah. Hi, Wayne?
Yes, ma'am.
If the doors are opened on Rosh Hashanah and they close on Yom Kippur,
right,
which is 10 days later, how come during the tribulation the doors stay open the whole 7 years till the next Yom Kippur?
Okay, let me try and do this simplistically. Hold up 10 fingers. Oh. 10 fingers.
How many is that?
Not your toes, your 10 fingers.
Is that all of them?
That's all of them. Put down the first two. The first two are Tishrei 1 and 2. Tishrei 1 and 2 are Rosh Hashanah. Put down the 10th one. That's Yom Kippur. That's when the Lord returns for the Battle of Armageddon. How many fingers are left standing?
Seven.
Representing the 7 years between the rapture and the resurrection and the door closing at Yom Kippur.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it doesn't close the Yom Kippur of this year. Well,
correct.
Theoretically, it would close the Yom Kippur at the end of
right.
Tribulation.
Where in the scripture does the Lord teach us that a day can represent a year?
Oh, it's in there.
Okay. Yeah, the prophet laid on one side so many days and on the other side so many days, each day representing a year. Yeah, okay. It's in there. It's, yep.
Ezekiel 37, I think it was.
Yep. It's in there. So back to verse 9. They said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's not the bride. That's those that have been invited. Remember the parable Messiah told about the kingdom of heaven being like a marriage supper? And there was a man who didn't have on the right garment, and the king threw him out of the marriage supper. And people go, that's not fair. Well, the father of the bridegroom who throws the marriage supper provides the wedding garments to all the guests. The wedding garments being the salvation, the robes of righteousness. This man who didn't have on the robes of righteousness had refused it. That's why he gets tossed out.
So is that group the same as the tares? Those who don't have the right
yes,
garment are the tares?
Are the tares. Verse 10. I love the discussion. People have written me many times over the years and said, those are the only interesting parts, is when people ask the questions.
Don't believe it.
Okay, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Uh-oh. Whose feet did he fall at?
The messenger.
An angel.
Ruh-roh.
What happens when you fall on your face to worship an angel? What's he say?
Get up.
That's what happens. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. What happened to a king at Caesarea Maritima when he walked out on stage in his beautiful silver and gold robes and he said, oh, a god. He said, why, thank you. Yes, I am.
Got eaten
by worms. The angel saw that and says, get up. Don't do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Yeshua. So this is not what you and I would call an angel from heaven, but rather a messenger that is one of the raptured and resurrected saints. The word angel just means messenger. When it says, any of your brethren have the testimony of Yeshua, it means somebody who's been saved by faith. He says what? Worship God. And he probably says it with great urgency
very loudly so God can hear, not taking your worship.
I think it's Daniel.
It could be Daniel, possibly. Daniel fell down before an angel. What did the angel tell him?
Get up.
Get up, yeah. For the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. What is all prophecy ultimately about? Leading people to Messiah. Salvation in Messiah. Verse 11. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened. This is Yom Kippur. 7 years after the tribulation period began. God bless you. And behold, which means don't miss this, a white horse. Is this the white horse from the first seal?
No.
No. In the ancient days, if a king came on a donkey, that was a sign of peace and friendship. If the king comes on a horse, it's for war. So this is Messiah coming on the horse. What's he coming for? War. He who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Verse 1. Behold. Waiting for somebody to go. Beloved. That's different. What does beloved mean? He's talking to believers. Believers are the beloved of the Lord. I now write to you this second epistle. What's an epistle?
Letter.
A letter. In both of which I stir up your pure minds, meaning get them out of the gutter. Quit living in sin. Live a life of righteousness. He says, by way of reminder. Reminder of what? The judgment day is coming. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Where's the first time Messiah is promised? That's in Genesis 3:15. All the way back in Genesis. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days. Have any of you been scoffed at when you've talked about the Lord's return? Yeah. Walking according to their own lusts. Why don't they want the Lord to return?
Because they like their sin.
And saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Anyone who thinks that today has lost their mind. Is today's society like it was 200 years ago? Oh, no. Daniel 12:4 says, at the time of the end, men shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. What kind of calculators and computers did they have 200 years ago?
Abacus.
A little abacus. Yeah. How did you get from here to there? You walked or you rode a horse. Eventually, there came a freight train that carried passengers. But today, how do we get from here to there?
Jeep.
By jeep? By airplane? By rockets? The scripture says the two witnesses are going to be killed in the streets of Jerusalem and the whole world's going to see it. How's that possible? Internet, yeah, YouTube. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget. What does the word willfully mean?
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They don't want to know. That's one thing you got to know from even American jurisprudence is deliberate ignorance is the same as knowledge. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. What's that mean? It means God judged the earth once before. And all but Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives died.
And the animals.
Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, meaning God's word still holds the heaven and earth together, are reserved for fire, that is from God's judgment, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What's another term for ungodly men? Lawless men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. That's specifically when you're looking at end times prophecy. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, what? Will come. Go to Matthew 24. Let's look at the Lord's own words. Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. What does it mean, Olivet? Took place on the Mount of Olives, that's all. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. When? Immediately after the tribulation. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Now see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Back to Revelation chapter 19, verse 12. Yes?
The sign of the Son of Man, is that the visible presence of the sign?
Yeah, they're going to see the physical, visible presence coming. The whole world will see it. Not just a few. Revelation 19, verse 12 says, his eyes were like a flame of fire. Again, what is fire picture in prophecy? Judgment. So his eyes are coming, and he's going to see all the nations coming against Jerusalem to say, you will not rule and reign over us. And on his head were many crowns. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 29. Why does he have a name written that no one knows? Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us, the secret things, that is, those that have not been revealed, belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So Deuteronomy 29:29 told us long ago that the Lord does not tell us everything. Remember when John heard the seven thunders and was about to write, and what did the angel say? Don't write it. Don't you want to know what they said? Me too. But God says, gotta wait. I think it would have revealed more than the Lord wanted us to know at this point in time. I think it would have given us too detailed information.
More to worry about.
Maybe so.
Try to manipulate things more.
If I knew 30 years ago that the Lord was going to blow the trumpet on 30 September of 2019, What would I have done for the 30 years? Yeah, we got plenty of time. Oh, plenty of time. Yeah, but knowing that, well, we don't know the day or the hour, keeps us on our toes a little more. Verse 13 of Revelation 19. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. First of all, why is his robe dipped in blood?
Treading the winepress alone.
Treading the winepress alone. That's Isaiah 63, Mike says, and he's right. Let's go back to Isaiah 63.
Daniel.
Good man.
No, not this Daniel.
Isaiah 63, verses 1 to 6. Who is this who comes from Edom? What's Edom another term for?
Esau.
Esau. With dyed garments from Bozrah. Bozrah is the capital city of Edom. This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. This is Messiah returning for judgment. And Messiah speaks. It says, I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red? And your garments like one who treads in the winepress. Where do we read about the winepress of God being trampled? Revelation 14. He says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. That's the great tribulation. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury, it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. Who's being brought down in their strength to the earth? The armies that have come against Jerusalem to keep the Lord from returning. But we also read in verse 13, and his name is called the Word of God. What does that refer back to? John 1:1. Right, in the beginning was the Word. Let's go look at it. The Word was with God, and the Word what?
Was God.
John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, referring back to Genesis 1:1. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Why did the darkness not comprehend the light? It didn't want to. Verse 14 tells us, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us. And we beheld his glory. That's Matthew 17. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back to Revelation 19, verse 14. In the armies in heaven. The word armies comes from the word hosts. We keep seeing the term in the Old Testament, the Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaot. It's referring to the host there that Messiah leads. It's us.
It's not the Zavahagana?
Nope. But that would be a cute way to put it. The Haganah was the Israeli defense forces back at the time of the Israeli independence. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Are these angels? No, these are us, wearing our white robes, the righteousness of the saints. Followed him on white horses. Let's look first at Jude. Since I have to give a chapter, I'd say chapter 1, but if you know Jude, there's only one. Jude verses 14 and 15. Jude, verses 14 and 15. Says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. What do you know about the saints? In Revelation 14, 12, they keep the commandments of God and the testimony of our Messiah, Yeshua. To execute judgment on all, this is for the battle of Armageddon. To convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way. How many times can you use ungodly in a sentence? And of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners, so apparently once more, has spoken against him. So it was prophesied way back in the seventh from Adam that the Lord will return with his saints. We read that also in Zechariah 14:5. There's no one before the five. Zechariah 14:5.
A lot of people keep going back to the book of Enoch that we have today to try and explain what happened in Genesis.
I don't know why they do. It's like the book of Jasher that exists today.
What about the book of Jubilees?
Not scripture. The book of Jasher. Jasher in the book of Jasher is a name. In the Bible, it refers to Sefer HaYashar, which is translated the book of Jasher, but Jasher is not a name. You can't put the definite article in front of a proper name. So it should be translated the book of the upright, not the book of Jasher. But
anyway,
yeah.
My take on this is when it says that Enoch also, it doesn't say it was a book of Enoch. It just says the seventh from Adam. It kind of reminds me of like the 7,000 years from Adam being manly to Enoch, who's prophesied and said, do you follow what I'm trying to get to?
Yep.
Yeah, it just reminds me of that. It doesn't remind me of any kind of book.
Very good. Zechariah 14:5, the last sentence. Thus the Lord my God will come. That's Messiah returning in Revelation 19. And all the saints with you. I listened to people just this morning saying that the rapture and resurrection happens after the tribulation period's over. If the saints are returning with Messiah and they haven't been raptured and resurrected yet, how are they coming with him when he returns? So the post-tribulation rapture theory just doesn't hold water. Back to Revelation 19 for two more minutes. Verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Is it literally a sharp sword swinging in the wind? No. It's apocalyptic literature. That with it he should strike the nations. The word nations means Gentiles. It's those that have come against Jerusalem. For the battle of Armageddon is described in Psalm 2 and Zechariah 14. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Let us go first to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 is about entering into God's Sabbath rest, that is the millennial kingdom. In fact, that's the word that's used in verse 9 when it says, there remains therefore a rest. The Greek word is sabbatismos, which means specifically a Sabbath rest. So we're looking at end times discussions here. And in verse 12 it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is pictured as being like a sword which divides the saved from the unsaved, the righteous from the unrighteous. Another way to put that is the righteous from the lawless, using the terms of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Look also at Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. The tongue being like a sharp sword has been used in Isaiah in chapter 49, verses 1 and 2. Listen, O coastlands, to me, talking to the Gentiles, and take heed, you peoples from afar, again the Gentiles. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. I heard a female theologian today say that there is not a word in the Bible that would make you think that abortion is not approved by God.
She didn't read the Bible.
Yeah, that was my first thought, is what Bible is she reading? Psalm 2, verse 8. In Revelation 19:15, it talked about striking with the rod of iron. Psalm 2, verse 8. We'll start in verse 7 for context. It's about the return of the Lord for the battle of Armageddon. And it says, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Notice son is capitalized. Talking about Messiah. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So who is prophesied to do that, to break them with a rod of iron? Messiah Yeshua. Yep. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. We read that, verses 1 through 4. So we'll go to Isaiah 11, 4. Because not only is time short, but whoops, I went a little over. Isaiah 11, 4. Isaiah comes right after Psalms, right? Well, closely thereafter. Isaiah 11, verse 4. Talking about the Messianic kingdom. But it reminds us that, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's what we're reading in Revelation 19:15. With the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. That's that two-edged sword. It lets us know here it's the word of God being spoken forth. And with that, we'll bring Bible study to a close, and we'll pick up next week, Lord willing, if we're still here, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.